Hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And today we're going to start off with our good friend Sky Nicholson, who did what she said she was going to do compared to her male counterparts from Australia. Yes, she won her fight in Las Vegas and is now undefeated at 10-0. As they're reporting down under, Australia has a new boxing queen, with Sky Nicholson becoming a world champion for the first time. So she went the distance, by the way, in Las Vegas. Unanimous decision win over Sarah Mahfood. We reported on it last week. We thought it would be a good fight, and it was indeed a good fight. So she's won the WBC featherweight title fight. Who she goes after next? Well, now this is a good debate. She's perfect 10-0 and would love to fight Amanda Serrano. But I think Eddie Hearn was saying, can't she get by Lucy Wildheart first? So I think that's probably what he's going to set up for her next. And then potentially Amanda Serrano. But I don't think that'll happen. As you might know, Serrano vacated the WBC belt in protest of their decision to limit women's title fights to just 10 rounds instead of 12, and also maintain that 2-minute limit as opposed to 3-minute rounds. So there'll be more fights for Sky Nicholson. She's a great fighter, a great young lady. Love listening to her interviews, and I love watching her fights. And she certainly showed her male compatriots down under, you got to get it done in the ring. And even if it's left in the hands of the judges, she still won. Let's have a quick look at Richardson Hitchens and his fight, because he now remains undefeated, 18-0. It was a difficult fight for sure, and one that was left in the hands of the judges and somewhat controversial. As go the pundits. Vince DeRuyter says on Boxing News 24.com, he's saying undefeated super lightweight contender Richardson Hitchens scored what some fight fans viewed as a controversial unanimous decision victory over Gustavo Limos. He's now 29-1, and that was held at the Fontainebleau in Las Vegas. As I said, Sky Nicholson was on that undercard, and we'll get to some of the other fighters in a second. Prior to the bout, 8-1 betting favorite Hitchens stated Limos wasn't on his level. The fight would be a massacre and it wouldn't go the distance. Hitchens planned on using the match to make a statement, but instead of making a statement, Hitchens probably generated more questions. In the first round of the IBF Super Lightweight World Title Eliminator bout, Hitchens was able to gain control, but again, I was having difficulty right through to the very end, where it had to be determined by the judges with respect to who would win. Anyway, let's see who he comes up against next, because quite frankly, will he be able to come across Subriel Mateus? He's 20-1, who I believe is set to defend his title in June against Liam Paro. So if Mateus defeats Paro, will Hitchens be ready to claim his shot at the title? So for fans who are paying attention, most likely British fans, they'll have to wait and see. Let's move along to the other fights on that undercard, featuring a whack of undefeated fighters who remained undefeated. Unbeaten super middleweight Diego Pacheco, 21-0, won a tactical 10-rounder over Sean McCollum, 15-1. Pacheco retained, therefore, his WBO international and USWBC titles as well. And I also see that Olympic gold medalist Galalia Fai, he's now 7-0, stopped Agustin Gauto, 21-2, in round number 8 of a hard-fought contest. Referee stoppage was at 2 minutes 40 seconds. And in the process, Fai retained his WBC international flyweight title. The other fight on that card, unbeaten super featherweight Mark Castro, 12-0, 8 knockouts, outscored Abraham Montoya, who's now 22-6-1, over 10 rounds. Another undefeated champ on the rise here. I mentioned him last week, and we'll get to it in a second why I mentioned him. Unbeaten Bakram Murtazaliyev, 23-0 out of Russia, stopped former WBA super welterweight champ Jack Kulke. He's now 33-5 of Germany. And that fight was taking place in Germany. He was stopped in round number 11. And in the process, Murtazaliyev won the vacant IBF World Super Welterweight title. Obviously, the two slugged it out from the beginning to the very end. True fight of the year candidate, giving fans a memorable fight in Germany and around the world if you happen to watch it on pay-per-view. Murtazaliyev had his breakthrough moment in round number 11 when he seriously rocked Kulke with a number of solid punches, finally dropping him with a left hook with seconds to go in round number 11. Kulke, on very unsteady legs, beat the count, but the referee correctly waved the bout off. The event was promoted by Almin Kuk out of Kuk Boxing Promotion, that's in Germany, and Ingo Volkmann of Egon Sports. And the site was being held at the Falcon Sea in Brandenburg, Germany. Good stuff. Good to hear some fighting in other countries outside the US and UK. We've been reporting on fights from around the world. Let's continue here with the fight actually that took place in Texas. We reported on it. Now here's the result. Unbeaten super lightweight Ernesto Tito Mercado. He's now 15-0, 14 knockouts. Apparently got an easy win against Danner Berrio on Saturday night at the Red Owl Boxing Arena in Houston, Texas. The 22-year-old Mercado pounded on the defensive-minded Berrio for three rounds, and Berrio stayed on the stool after that round had finished. So a whole bunch of news from a bunch of undefeated up-and-comers, champions on the rise. What I wanted to mention about Murtazaliyev, as reported in badlefthook.com, they're calling it a weirdly consistent trend for 2024. Okay. So Russia's Murtazaliyev claimed the vacant IBF super welterweight title with dramatic knockout, as I just mentioned, in the championship. And so 22-0, Murtazaliyev became mandatory challenger in 2019 and ended, therefore, a nearly 16-month layoff when he entered the ring in Germany. Kulke gave him no time to shake the rust, knuckling down, trading leather with the younger, bigger man in what was all accounts a terrific Donnybrook. By the 11th, round, the 38-year-old Kulke was just simply out of juice. A jolting left hook from Murtazaliyev swelled the beginning of the end, and although Kulke survived the subsequent broadside to beat the count, the referee called it off, as I said. So every scorecard that has been noticed by this particular writer, as I said, on Bad Left Hook, had Kulke ahead at the time. And though two judges disagreed in a rare inverse German judging phenomena, I'll go ahead and call it a comeback. Murtazaliyev follows in the footsteps of Raymond Ford, who avoided a split decision loss by stopping Otabek Komanov in the final seconds of last month's vacant featherweight title fight, and Masanori Rikishi, who took out Michael Magnisi in 12th round of the WBC super featherweight eliminator less than 2 weeks ago. And with this victory, Sebastian Fundura's upset of Tim Tsiu last week and Israel Magomedov's knockout of Magomedov Kurbanov, all four of Jermell Charlo's former titles have new homes. So we'll see how this eclectic lineup holds up in the coming months and look forward to further results from these various fighters. All righty, let's have a quick look at Lauren Price. Lauren Price challenges Jessica McCaskill for the WBA welterweight title on May 11th. And she had some pretty good words, quite frankly. She's calling for more national federations to join world boxing and save boxing from Olympic disaster. This is reported by Sky Sports. You know, she's the gold medalist from Great Britain. And she's on a bit of a roll here. As it stands, boxing is set to crash out of the Olympic Games after Paris 2024, unless an alternative governing body can be appointed in time for LA 2028. The IOC stripped the IBA, Boxing's International Federation of Recognition over its failure to complete reforms of governance, financial, and ethical issues, the culmination of a series of scandals that have plagued the governing body since Rio 2016. Last year, it also accused the IBA's Russian president, Umar Kremlev, of using violent and threatening language about IOC personnel. An IOC-run task force oversaw the boxing competition at the Tokyo Games in 2021, and they'll also administer the tournament in Paris as well, but they will not do so for a third Olympics. The sport has until next year to come up with a replacement federation. At the moment, boxing is not on the sports program for the Olympic Games LA28. In order to remedy this, the IOC needs to have a partner international federation for boxing by early 2025. That's courtesy of the IOC. And they continue, because of the universality and high social inclusivity of boxing, the IOC wants it to continue to feature on the program of the Olympic Games. Unfortunately, this is far from certain for the Olympic Games LA 2028, because for governance reasons, the IOC is not in a position to organize another Olympic boxing tournament. To keep boxing on the Olympic program, the IOC needs a recognized and reliable international federation as a partner, as with all other Olympic sports. The National Olympic Committees and National Boxing Federations thus hold the future of Olympic boxing in their own hands, and the required actions cannot be clearer. A new boxing body has been created in World Boxing, which is expressly seeking recognition from the IOC. And I've reported on this quite often, by the way. And this is where Lauren Price comes in. Lauren Price, the reigning Olympic middleweight gold medalist, is backing World Boxing. She's calling for more national federations to join the new organization and save the Olympic sport. A lot more countries have jumped on board, she said. I believe maybe after Paris, a lot more will join as well. It looks quite promising. I think we all knew it wasn't really looking good with that organization, the IBA, because of previous what went on in Rio, etc. World Boxing, they seem to be doing a great job. They're putting on tournaments. We recently had one in Sheffield, she says, in January, and that went great. It's promising. Price continued, I believe boxing can't come out of the Olympics. It'll be a disaster. Young people's hopes, dreams will be crushed. I believe the Olympics is the pinnacle of the sport, and that's where your best boxers come from. You look at the likes of Floyd Mayweather, people like that. They went through the process as well. It's very important that boxing stays in. You don't get any higher than the Olympics. So for me, if someone said to me, you could go to the World Championships with IBA, or you're going to go to the Olympic Games, I know which one I would pick. So earlier this week, you might recall, as I reported last week, the Court of Arbitration for Sport upheld the IOC's decision to strip the recognition from the IBA. And although the IBA insists it has made considerable progress in the areas mentioned by CAS, the organization stated they would refrain from further comments until the CAS award has been thoroughly analyzed by its legal experts, which is taking place right now to draw a conclusion whether the organization appeals to the Swiss Federal Tribunal. World Boxing has reiterated its desire to fill the breach for the Olympic sport. There is no alternative, it said in a statement. The decision by CAS and the comments from the IOC send a clear and unambiguous message to all national federations that if they want boxers from their country to have a life-changing opportunity to continue to compete at future Olympic Games, then they must now support and seek to join World Boxing, which is the last remaining hope for the sport to retain its status as an Olympic sport beyond Paris 2024. Any national federation or NOC that continues to think its boxers will have an Olympic future elsewhere and without joining World Boxing is making a grave error that will be ruinous for the sport and hugely damaging for its boxers. Wow. Let's move along to news about other undefeated boxers. Oh, by the way, I might want to add here that previous story featuring Lauren Price. She's also undefeated. I believe she's 6-0. Anyway, Bob Arum still believes in Jared Anderson. Okay. I mentioned Jared Anderson last week. I mentioned some of his troubles, which include racing his car at excess speeds and being detained by the police back in March. He's also charged with a third-degree felony because of that. The Hall of Fame promoter though, is still sure the 24-year-old will become, quote, the next great heavyweight. Okay? But he said it'll take until 2026 for Anderson to make his move. He said, and I quote Bob Arum, he's a young kid, a good-looking kid, and what he did was wrong, racing cars and so forth. A lot of these kids do that. But it wasn't as though he was beating people up in a bar or stealing things. He was behaving the way some 23, 24-year-old kids do. They do stupid things. So now, thank God, he's lost his driver's license, so he can't get in a car. He's a really nice kid, a really fun kid with a big smile. And he has a big test against his Belgian fighter coming up that has a great resume. I believe that given the rest of the year and next year, that by 2026, Jared will be fighting for the heavyweight championship of the world and will be the next great heavyweight. As you know, Anderson, 16-0, 15 knockouts. He's not boxed since back in August, and he's facing the Belgian Merhi, who says, let's go over to what he says now, a story about someone who has actually lost a fight. Former WBA cruiserweight champ Ryan Merhi of Belgium is convinced unbeaten heavyweight prospect contender Jared Anderson has made a big mistake in agreeing to fight him next. As many fans may know, the two will clash in Corpus Christi in Texas this Saturday night. And while 24-year-old Anderson is being groomed for stardom, Merhi, at age 31, says he will knock Anderson off and then fight for the Bridgerweight world title. Merhi's 32-2, by the way, tells Sky Sports he will prove wrong the experts such as Tyson Fury, who say Anderson is the next big thing at heavyweight. We might add to that Bob Arum as well. Merhi said, I'm the future guy who's going to beat the future champion. Jared will lose that fight, and I'll prove Tyson Fury wrong. The only name I know of Jared's opponents is Charles Martin. That's the only name we knew from anybody he fought. Can we compare him to an Olympic gold medalist like Tony Yoka, who Merhi holds a recent win over? He's a very young fighter who has a lot of things to prove. We spoke about his power, but you have to see who he's knocked out before. He's doing pretty well with his skills, but we'll see on the night who is the better fighter. So, as I just said, Anderson, he's not boxed since August, so he could be a little bit rusty. And while Merhi has fought in December, has only been stopped once, so by Arsen Gulmirian in a cruiserweight title fight back in 2018. So Merhi's right when he says Prince Charles Martin is the biggest name on Anderson's resume, and the former IBF heavyweight champ gave Anderson a tough night's work in taking him the distance. So this is going to be a heck of a good fight for all to watch, especially North American fans who are following the heavyweight division closely, especially with Tyson Fury's fight coming up as well. But speaking of title fights, etc., Chantel Cameron is having her fun with the media, I suppose, and she's condemning Katie Taylor for not taking on that trilogy fight she fully expected and accepted, and is now saying she's run. As you know, they traded victories, that is Cameron and Taylor, in Ireland, and quite frankly, Katie Taylor had thought there was going to be a fight taking place in Croke Park, and therefore Chantel Cameron thought she was going to have that opportunity to decide in a trilogy scenario who would be the better of the two. Anyway, it seems like Katie Taylor will not encounter Cameron in the ring, who, by the way, Taylor gave Cameron her first pro loss. So Chantel Cameron's a little bit upset, I think, because she seems to have wasted her time perhaps preparing for the Katie Taylor fight, and wonders who she'll fight next. Obviously, she said, I accepted the money that was offered, and in my eyes, I thought it was a done deal. I was good to go. I accepted less money and had no demands whatsoever. So it's a fight Cameron still craves to such an extent she'll resist pursuing other opportunities at welterweight to stay at super lightweight and pressure Taylor. There's a massive fight set there for me, she says, but all I want is my 140-pound belts back. The way that Katie won them, I can't let them go like that. I need to get a shot at getting them belts back. The plan at the moment is to get me into another big fight. I'm mandatory for 3 of the 140-pound belts. Put pressure on her, put her in a corner, then chase more belts. She said it would be easy to go up to 147 and start fighting for belts there and then just stay at 147. Whereas I feel like I won't be doing myself any justice there because I want to settle this score with Katie Taylor. That's it. That's what she needs to say. So anyway, let's have a quick look at what else Bob Arum had to say before I move on to closing comments from our friend Eddie Hearn. He's talking about Tyson Fury, and he's talking about the lack of preparation and why he believes Tyson Fury might be a bit on the decline here, getting old. So, the lack of preparation with respect to the fight against Nagano and why Nagano gave him problems. Bob Arum's theory is that Fury's performance against Nagano, he just didn't train hard enough, you know? And there's been a bit of a decline due to age, you know? 35-year-old Fury, he didn't look physically the same as he did a few years ago when he fought Deontay Wilder. So, you know, the Fury and Usyk fight, it's going to be a great fight without doubt. It'd be a historic fight without doubt. All the belts up for stake there, and then we'll see who wins. But anyway, with respect to Arum's thinly veiled worries, he continues, Fury looked dreadful against Nagano. Arum was putting lightly with his comment about how Fury looked against the ex-UFC heavyweight champ. Watching Fury getting battered around the ring in that fight by the novice had to have shaken Arum's belief in his fighter, who looked all 35 and then some in that fight. Said BoxingNews24.com. Fury's excuses, is Fury simply getting old, or is he coasting on easy fights? Arum leaves it open. He's not exactly a glowing endorsement. This is a big if. Arum says that if Fury were still in his prime, he beats Usyk with no problem. Unfortunately, that's not possible. Fury is not in his prime, and there's no working time machine that can take him back to 2015 when he was still in his prime. So the million-dollar question is Tyson, if Tyson's on his A game, if it's the Tyson that fought Wilder the last time two times and fought Dillian White, there's no way that Usyk or any heavyweight can beat him. But that's a really big assumption. Does he have it left? We'll have to wait and see on May 18th, said Bob. Wow. I'm not going to say it's a cliffhanger, but what else are you going to say when you're a promoter and you're biggest money maker is getting old? It happens. All right. So last words, I promised Eddie Hearn. He had some words for the media after the Hitchens-Lemos fight. He had a few things to say about various fighters. He was asked whether Devin Haney had reached out about the unification with Subriel Mateus. You might recall we mentioned Subriel Mateus earlier on. Anyway, Eddie Hearn said, Devin, he just wants to fight for all the belts. So I know that he'll fight all these guys. I know what he's like. But I like the fact he wants to chase the belts. I mean, poor Sandor Martin. Everyone's giving him stick, but he's a good fighter. But sometimes you have to go through these mandatory defenses just to financially not what you're used to. He was asked about that. Is it difficult to go from promoting big headlining cards? So for Canelo, for example, to doing smaller venues. For Hitchens and Pacheco, for example. He said no, because it's all part of the journey. We just did the Joshua Nagano in Saudi Arabia. We've got Taylor and Cattle coming up. Sold 11,000 tickets for that. So you've got Fury versus Usyk coming up. We're involved in that. We've got three fighters on the undercard, Haney versus Garcia in a couple of weeks. You know, when you're doing a show every week, not every show is going to be a blockbuster, but you've got to invest in the talent coming through. Diego Pacheco struggled a little bit on that card. I thought he won, but he's got to improve. Is he going to dominate division like we're building him up to do? But I think, really, it's not just about the bright lights. It's about content. I think tonight was a good show, and I think it was a great main event. One last comment here on the women. He said, on the prospects of Clarissa Shields fighting Alicia Baumgartner, I think that's a great fight. I mean, wow. Who wouldn't want to watch it? But it's just size. I mean, look, Alicia is 130-pound undisputed champion, and Clarissa's 160 pounds, 168. She's boxed at 154. She's had to come down. I thought they discussed 147. She said 154, so I don't know. I don't think there's many fights out there for Clarissa Shields. I mean, who else is there for her to fight, really? So she's really like that fight, but she's going to make that fight fair, she's going to have to come down to an uncomfortable place because she's huge in comparison to Alicia. She's a much bigger woman. So you've got to make it uncomfortable. You just can't make it a weight where she makes it easy and Alicia has to come in at 147 and eat to get there. And she's giving away 8 pounds or 15 to 16 pounds on the night. She's got to decide the lowest she can go. And Alicia's got to decide if she can go up for the challenge. The little brackets here. Brackets. Clarissa Shields would later walk past Hearn and he would ask her the lowest weight she can do to make a Baumgartner fight. To which she responded, 154. So fight fans, don't hold your breath on that one. So I had recently asked in a poll on our YouTube channel whether we might see a Canelo versus Benavidez fight. And, you know, it doesn't, according to Eddie Hearn, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. I know I said I was ending my show with that women's comment, but one quickie here. Hearn said, I mean, with respect to Canelo and Benavidez, it's not happening now, but who knows what's going to happen. I think Canelo's moved to give you his number, which is a big number, whether that's his number or not, then why not? He's saying to the world, if you want it, you got to pay for it. And there is big money for big fights out there at the moment. That's too much in my opinion, but who knows how close they can get. But David was here tonight. Looked like he was having a great time, and he's a hell of a fighter. So there you go. You just might see Benavidez and Canelo at the end of the day, as I asked boxing fans to comment on our YouTube platform in a poll. I suggested if Canelo wins on Cinco de Mayo weekend, will we see him fight in September, David Benavidez Jr.? And go have a look at the poll. Make that answer yourself. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it very much. Remember, like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell. And as I always do, I will sign off by saying, please join me again on talkandfight.com for my next show, which is coming up very soon in 24 hours. See you later.